cross. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Would you join me in our Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And here's Aaron.
Here we go. All right. How's it going today? This beautiful spring morning, February the 3rd, 4th? I don't know. I don't even know what day it is, but yeah, so I was, as long as it's sunny, right? So I was listening to last week's message, and I went home and I thought, okay, a lot of repetition, some ums, but overall, there was a flow to it. I thought, oh, maybe could have trimmed at least 10 minutes off of it, but I don't know. I know we're not in a hurry, but today's message is not going to be very long. But I was thinking about maybe, I know you don't, I'm not getting paid to sing, but I'm going to sing maybe a little song for a minute. Because I get inspired when I'm sitting there during communion, but more just to stretch out the defense, you know. This is one I heard when I was a kid. Are you glad that the old account was settled long ago between you and God? So, there was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top with many things below. I went unto the keeper and settled long ago. The old account was long and growing every day, for I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, I said that I would settle, and I settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. And the old account was settled long ago. Just one more verse. Oh, sinner, be forewarned. Repent of all your sin, for thus he has commanded, if you should enter in, and then if you should live 100 years below, up there you'll not regret it, that you settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. And the old account was settled long ago. Okay, thanks. That's a not for, you know, I feel comfortable with you guys. I thank God for the gifting in the church. That's basically what this message is about today. A lot for this church specifically about gifting. And I will talk a little bit about myself getting started, but it's more what you have done for me as a person, and specifically last week. And I'll try to keep the ahs and the ums. Man, when you listen to yourself on a tape or a recording, see, I'm still stuck in the 80s, a tape. Videotapes and cassettes don't exist anymore. You just think, I don't sound like that. That's not me. That's Casey Winking down the street, living down there. That's him, not me, talking. But today I want to read to you a Bible verse to get started in 2 Thessalonians. Well, actually, it's 2 Thessalonians 5:19. And it's only a four-word scripture. So for you that, anybody that, I mean, four words, how can you go wrong with that? That we can stay on track with four words, and the baptismal will not open me up and swallow me at the 10:20, 10:25 marker. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5:19, it says, quench not the Spirit. And the NIV would say, do not quench the Spirit. And there's another verse in the Bible that we don't have to turn there, but it is in another book of the Bible in the New Testament says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. And we are very fortunate as Christians that our desire is to do everything in encouragement to one another that we can. And we'd so have the desire to stay in the will of God that in our heart, God knows that we don't want to quench or stop the Holy Spirit. That when it gets to moving in our midst, we want to do everything we can, or even if we just have to step aside and get out of the way to allow God to do what he wants to do, especially on a Sunday morning when we all come together to encourage and build each other up. That's what this message is about, is allowing the Holy Spirit through us as vessels to encourage and strengthen one another in need. When you think of the word quench, do not quench the Holy Spirit, I have to think of taking a cold drink of water. And drinking water is a good thing. You know, you think of when you're thirsty and you quench your thirst and then you're done for a while. Okay, I've had plenty of water, I don't need any more. But that's just the opposite, where we don't want to quench the Holy Spirit, because drinking from the fountain of God's living water, there's no end to it. We don't want to be responsible for stopping what God wants to do in our brothers and sisters or in us personally. And on the other hand, the Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we do that without meaning to, and that's good because God knows our heart. But you can grieve the Holy Spirit when he's trying to do something, trying to help someone or overcome something in your personal life. We might do it by getting upset and throwing a fit. I talked last week about visiting another church and coming that close to throwing a fit over something that would have been foolish. You can grieve the Holy Spirit by doing that. One time in a church service, something happened, maybe 10, 15 years, no, this was 20 some years ago. During the service, something happened that I didn't think was of God or should have happened during church. So what do I do in my arrogance? Here, I'm picking on myself again. I don't pick on you guys. You're the fuzzy, lovely kitty cats out in the front row and all in the pews. But I pick on myself. But I got up in the middle of the service while they were trying to have worship, and I walked right up to the pastor and I said, did you think that was from God? And he looked at me like, what are you doing up here, man? You're killing it. You're killing the Spirit, man. You don't walk up to church in the middle of worship. And as I look back, I thought I was doing the right thing as a kind of an arrogant, righteous. I thought, I'm going to get up there and challenge what just happened in this church and say, shouldn't happen here. But, you know, I could have been discreet. I should have just waited till after the service and gone, hey, Pastor, do you think that was right? So last week, I shared a message that made, it really was kind of a, I can see how people might look at it and say, man, that baker's got some problems. He looks in the mirror and he, I think I'm back. All right. He gets going, and it was really nice of you guys. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to blow you out. But so many people came up to me after last week, hugging, encouraging. I'm your friend. I'm like, I'm your friend too. God bless you. Thank you. People texting me during the week. And it's not about me or one person, but when I left Blandinsville last week, even going the spillover into Tinks, the spirit of love from this church rolling out, I felt like $1 million when I left Blandinsville last week. I could feel the love of the Spirit and the power of God. I remember driving back to La Harpe. I thought maybe I could have Linda call me some really mean and dirty names or say something terrible about me before I got back in. For just one person here, for me, to the power that this body has to be used in this town and for each other of encouragement, that there's no end to what God can do for you. I remember in history, there was a time when King Richard, the Lionheart of England, was retreating in battle and feeling like the tide of the battle was going against him. And he was retreating. And King Richard, the Lionheart, if you look at his military record, he didn't retreat. That's why they called him the Lionheart. And his little armor bearer was riding along with him as they were retreating. It's like, King Richard, this isn't you. This isn't you. You're King Richard the Lionheart. You don't retreat. And all of a sudden, King Richard started thinking about that. He said, Yeah, I'm that's who I am. I don't retreat. And I want today, through the power of God and the power of love, remind you of who you are in Christ, that you are not retreating and that you don't have to retreat. And that love is what it's all about. People can say a lot of things about the Bible, and there's a lot of doctrines in there. But when it says, grieve not the Spirit, or quench not the Spirit, it is saying, do not stop the Spirit of love that comes from God, whether it's from directly from the throne room into your life, or through your church, through your brothers and sisters. How many people here today are in need of some sort? This love of the Spirit is for everybody. It's for the Christian who's down and struggling. I'm getting to the point here in this body, and I love the elders and the brothers, and I realize that we're all just family here, but I'm getting to the point where if I see you down and struggling with something, I'm gonna pray on the spot. I'm gonna reach out, and if you're comfortable, I might put a hand on your shoulder or put a hand close to you, and I'm gonna pray for you right there. I'm not gonna put it off and go, I'll pray for you and go home. That's what happened with the Good Samaritan. Everybody passed the guy that had the stuffings beaten. He was beat up in the ditch and dying, and everybody that was religious walked past him. But the Good Samaritan took him up and took him to the hotel to get him healed. That's what Jesus would do. That's what we should do for one another. We should be willing to do anything to help our fellow brother and sister. It kind of reminds me of other biblical stories where, like, when Jesus reached out to the lepers, you know, by the biblical law, you did not have to have anything to do with a leper, because they were as good as dead. Leprosy was a death sentence. And even the Jewish religion supported the idea, well, just ignore them. Let them die. But Jesus stepped over that gap when he lived here on earth and even went to the lepers and healed them and gave people that had absolutely no hope the hope that they needed. So it's about love in the Holy Spirit. It's about hope. If you have hope, you can carry on for another day. I remember one time a minister's wife, we'll call her Elaine, came to church, and she was so excited. She had been to one of those seminars where you just get revved up. You're so full of excitement and the Holy Spirit. Some of you have shared with me what that was like when you went somewhere, or you got saved somewhere and got off out of your regular grind and got to that retreat. Some of you have told me about the road to Emmaus, and the Holy Spirit moved in your life in the most powerful way that it ever did, and you didn't want to come back to your regular life and your society and face all the challenges of daily life. But this lady, Elaine, the pastor's wife, came to church, and she was so excited that Sunday morning to share all that God had done for her and all the power. And she was all but pounding on the pulpit in excitement, but it was sincere. She wasn't just trying to make a show. But the whole congregation was just kind of like, hey, okay, that's great. You went to the seminar. You had a great time. You're filled with the Holy Spirit, but don't try to push it on us. I think the congregation was just kind of tired, wore out, and kind of dead. But later that week, I talked to this lady, Elaine. I said, Elaine, I understand. Because she was kind of put out that nobody really wanted to join in the party. That she was having a one-woman party in the Holy Spirit, and they weren't feeling it. And I said, Elaine, don't feel bad. I said, I've been where you have been, and you are so excited and so sincere, but you've got to remember everybody in the congregation didn't have that same opportunity that you did. It happens as God desires. There are times God will take one person out of a situation and completely deliver them and put them in a seminar or whatever and rebuild their faith, and other people are struggling. There's times you may think, oh, what's that pastor talking about? That doesn't make any sense in that message. Or he's too short, he's too long, he's this, he's that. But you know, there are times when God allows messages for just one person that we don't even understand. It's weird. It's like sometimes God will be ministering. He's capable of ministering to everybody at once, but he's able to minister to that one person. That extra altar call might be for just one person, because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. But I told Elaine, the pastor's wife, I said, I understand, but don't you lose your fire, and don't be mad at the congregation because they just didn't experience what you did. And then I'm not trying to be Bobby Brady, the hall monitor, but I have always loved church. Church is my business, and it's not a business to me. It's a business of souls and love and power and changed lives. So even as a kid, or at this point more of since I was a kid, as an adult, I was even going among some of the congregation members being like, hey, because some of the congregation with this minister's wife was like, well, who does she think she is coming in all fired up and pounding on the pulpit? You know, we're still having some hardship here. We just weren't with it. And I said, well, you know, you gotta understand that we're all at different places, and you should be happy for her that she got that filling of the Holy Spirit. She was sincere, and I said, you know, she needs to understand that you're trying. You know, you're doing your best, and God will touch you as he sees. But here's the point that I shared, that the Bible says to mourn with those who mourn and to rejoice with those who rejoice. And by God's power and direction, we can be everything we need to be for one another here. You can feel like I did leaving Blandinsville. I didn't want to go home last weekend. I don't know, maybe you could see me walking the streets, hiding in the corners or somewhere, but I don't understand sometimes how you can feel so good in one spot and then go somewhere else and it's a totally different world. But it was, and it was the Holy Spirit, and it was God using you guys. And it just makes you want to come back for more. And if we can do that for one another by his mercy, what could we do for the world around us? Think of someone who have never experienced that love and that happiness. And my question would be, don't we deserve it? Well, no, we don't really deserve everything God gives us in his mercy, but it's our gift for the taking. It's not about deserving it. And shouldn't we do that for one another? I think we should. And I think that there is the ability to keep each other going and to reach the outside world all at the same time, and to rejoice with those who are rejoicing, and yet to mourn with those who mourn all at once. Didn't that church owe it to her to support her in that time of enlightenment and happiness, instead of being like, oh, well, who do you think you are? And shouldn't she have thought about her brothers and sisters? Maybe, hey, they don't have what I'm having right now, but I'll help them out, and I'll give them what I have, and I'll ease into it. We've seen both sides of the fence, but we have the duty that God has placed upon us. He gave us his life, his body on the cross, his forgiveness, and paid the debt that we couldn't pay for our eternal salvation. But with our lives, we can pay the debt of love that we owe to one another. And praise that comes to our lips unto God that is just not manufactured. It's just, it's like an extemporaneous speaking. It's just out of nowhere. It's spontaneous, because that's the power that lives within us. So we don't have to quench the Holy Spirit. We don't have to grieve the Holy Spirit. And we do that only a lot of times on accident. But we just want to be aware of what's going on around us so that we can keep encouraging each other. If you could feel 1 ounce of what you gave to me last week and what you've given to us so many times, and when we were given in hard times, how you helped bring us through, and prayers in this very pews were for the saving of our family, and even one Sunday sitting an hour or hour and a half after church with a friend, just using the house of God for what it was meant to be, the ministering and saving of a soul. And as born-again Christians, that can be us. We may be saved eternally, but our daily battles almost come to bring us where we need a daily refreshing and daily salvation to bring us up to speed. And you can't do it for yourself. I think God didn't make us that way in the body of Christ. I'm real close to wrapping this up. I have noticed, and I don't know if you feel this way, that when it comes to each other, God arms us to help each other so much in this body that I can pray for you and believe for miracles, and I can have faith for you that it seems like somehow I struggle with for myself. And I think God has made it that way so we will depend upon one another, and that your gifts will keep me afloat in the power of God, and my gifts and whoever, you know, whatever gifts you have, everybody has a gift, will help someone else along the way. And that's the way it's meant to be, because God has made us to be dependent on Him first and foremost, and to be dependent upon our brothers and sisters in Christ, and not getting catty and fighting over stupid things that don't matter. And I'm just bringing that up because I've seen it in so many churches that have basically now become a parking lot. Isn't that funny that you can go to one of the old churches you went to, and through strife and anger and quenching this, if you quench the Spirit and you do not love and you grieve the Holy Spirit with reckless abandon and do not think about it, your church will become a parking lot. It will just become one more building. But if you keep what you've got, what He has bestowed upon you, that I have experienced, that you have experienced, there is no limit to what He can still do in this area and in this community. So when Jesus was on earth, before time, this is before he created the earth, He was with His Father and with the Holy Spirit. He was ministering to us in love, because the Bible says He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Even back when they were creating the world, it was already set in stone that He would come die for sinful man. And then when He was on the earth, He did everything He could to help us. He healed the sick. He ministered to the people that were kicked out of society, people that were lepers and adulterers and hypocrites. He administered to all of them and helped them. His is a ministry of love. And finally, as He is in heaven, He is your high priest, ministering to you in love on a daily basis, where in love He intercedes for you. He intercedes before the Father and tells God how much He loves you and how He wants to help for you, to help you. And the Bible says that Jesus prays for us in heaven right now because He loves us. And He dictates to the angels and the Holy Spirit and the ministers and the elders and the people around you on how best to help your life. So today, if you'll bow your heads with me in prayer, I would just like to ask that God would allow us to receive this blessing of His love. Father, may every person here, everybody in some degree needs some type of ministry or some type of encouragement, some type of healing, some type of acceptance, love, a salvation, a financial miracle. Whatever is represented here today, I know that your precious Holy Spirit can go across this room, side to side, front to back, and give them what they need, and that you have already made this possible as their high priest, covering them in your precious blood and protecting them. And I do lift up Kathy today, Kathy Driscoll. I've really thought of her, and there's so many here also healing for that neck for my brother in the name of Jesus. Not because it's something we saw on television, but we believe by faith that we can receive this blessing in Christ and that you have everything we need, Lord. And I pray that you would bless this church in ways that it hasn't seen before, and that you would bless this community through this church in ways that they haven't seen before. And may it even spill off into the region. And lastly, may anybody that's hurting today feel 1 ounce of what this church gave to me last week, making me feel like $1 million, like that God loved me. And it all came in the form of a brother or sister. So, Lord, in this we pray. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Our hymn of invitation this morning is going to be "It Is Well With Our Soul," and that will be on the overhead.